Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Every week is an opportunity, and this one is all Ohio, baby. Welcome to Snap Judgments. It is Tuesday of Ohio Bobcats Week in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for the Buckeyes. Saturday, primetime. That game will be on Peacock. Forewarning, sign up if you haven't already. That is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward, and we have heard from Ryan Day a lot of respect paid and shown to this week's opponent, the final non-conference game, if you can believe it.
And to last week's opponent, Ryan Day made a point in the middle of his opening salvo, basically to say, hey, I went back and watched, and Grambling State played really hard, and we have a lot of respect for them. And, you know, we talked about that after the game. It seemed like Grambling really wanted to give Ohio State a look, and I think that for the Buckeyes' benefit, you can actually gain more out of that game than you would have otherwise. And some of that is about individual players. Some of that is about, you know, the schematics and the play calling and the overall picture of where Ohio State wants to be. I think that was, for me, like the one quote Ryan Day kind of went back to a couple times, like where this team is now is not where they're going to be. And whether that's because it's a race to improve or whether that's because improvement week is coming up or whatever it is, this is a head coach that seems to understand all the offseason focus being on Texas and getting that game out of the way and doing so with a win doesn't really mean anything for where this team's going to be in November. You know, from that perspective, Ohio State needs to go out on Saturday night against Ohio and not mess around, no doubt.
I do think this was the most specific that Day has been in terms of detailing the way that August worked and how this phase of the season has been treated in some ways like, you know, training camp 2.0, as I called it last week, maybe too far, because Ohio's going to pose a test. They won a conference championship last year. Ryan Day said they're going to come in with their hair on fire. Parker Navarro can run around, Ohio's quarterback. Like, there's going to be parts of that that are going to be a test for Ohio State. They are also, again, 33-point favorites. And, can, you know, when you're nearly a 5-touchdown pick to win the game, it is still not a talent-equated situation. So he talked about that in greater detail, where every single day it was designed to get ready for Texas, at least parts of it. So there were some install with a long-term view, and they're working through things with Julian Sain and Lincoln Keynotes at the same time. But they had to get through Texas first. And then he joked, well, this would look very different if they hadn't won the opener. But they did. They accomplished that part. And now you have the opportunity in this two-week stretch of games where you were a huge favorite, 50-plus points against Grambling, almost 5 touchdowns on Saturday against Ohio. And then that off week, that first improvement week, because you go on the road to play a Big Ten team at the end. I always think it's interesting when we know and understand something is happening the way August played out, and then after the fact, it's like, yeah, that was right.
Yeah, but it's also because that first Big Ten road game of the season is not your traditional first Big Ten road game. It's going to a place that nobody on this team has ever played.
Yeah.
Like, so there you have to segment.
An opponent they've never played.
And you're getting fortunate to have that week off right before that, I think. But if you look at the Ohio game, I think that there's a fine line that has to be walked and a needle to thread that, hey, we totally respect Ohio. This is a good team. They won the MAC. They beat West Virginia. They had Rutgers on the ropes. They're going to come in here, hair on fire, all that stuff, and then still realize there's not a single player on their team that would start for you. There's not a single player in their starting 22, or maybe there are, that would be in your two deep. There, you know, it'd be hard to find.
They had one 2 years ago.
It'd be hard to find more than one or two players in the starting 22 for Ohio that would be in the Ohio State two deep. So Ryan Day's insistence on this idea that this is about Ohio State. It has nothing to do with who they're playing, is really kind of important, but also you can still respect your opponent, which he's certainly doing.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is with the way that the portal windows work currently, and by the way, Ryan Day is not a fan at all of the proposal for the future to just have one window at the start of January when...
Yeah, I think he would probably acknowledge that he would be okay with it if it was at the end of January. When he said he's not a fan of it being in January, I think the current path forward is nonsensical.
Yeah, So anyway, that proposal's out there, and it seems like nationally it's got a lot of momentum behind it. I know I'm kind of getting aside from
the point. Yeah, because there's 130 teams or 120 teams every year that aren't going to be in the playoff, and they don't care.
But it also doesn't align with the financial calendar for right. the way that this thing... Anyway, that's beside the point.
Whole nother ball of wax.
If there had been somebody that fit the Will Kaczmarek mold who was standing out in Athens and Ohio State made a move to get him, like if that existed on their roster... They would already be in Columbus for Ohio. Yeah. So to your point, like that's they're a good team. They've had a great start to the year, but they're still not a talent equated situation here.
No, it's a test. It's an elevation of the competition from a week ago, but it doesn't change the fact that Ohio State should be able to get some things worked out on Saturday. I'm one of my things, you know, you're saying that you find it fascinating or you like it when things that we thought like turn into or come to fruition. I like when we see Ryan Day like dive into a new mindset and like the whole, he certainly has said in the past, like it's all about Ohio State. It's all about us, all about us, all about improving, all about that.
But score
like,
doesn't matter.
The whole thing that he keeps saying that like the results don't matter. Like, I think the results actually matter quite a bit in most cases, but it does seem like he is working hard to try and find new ways to motivate a team to compete against itself. And that's something that I think you have to do in this situation because, again, you know that the entire season is going to take on a different tenor starting in 2 weeks. So,
well, I think it's an important part of the evolution of coaching. Because that message and the race to get better and all the other variations, they're all derivative of the win the moment thing.
Yeah.
But if that was the only message that Ryan Day ever had, if that was the only way he conveyed the sense of urgency on a play-to-play and a process-based improvement plan, that would get tuned out immediately. It would just be, you know, a song you've heard a million times before and it fades into the background. I think that that's an important thing. And we've sort of stopped having this conversation about, oh, well, he's a first-time head coach because now he's got the national championship. But that is still true. And yeah. Even now you're into year seven. I think if he had leaned too hard on the culture is fight 4 to 6 A to B and win the moment, and that's the only way he ever delivered that, you would not have the attention. You would not have the weekly buy-in that we've seen from the Buckeyes. And in this version for 2025, we've only seen that 2 weeks. But I think beating Texas is significant all on its own. The way that they played, the way that the starters attacked that first half against Grambling, I think is also indicative that they are listening to the coaching points. And
well, it's the message it's what I said in here last week. Like, it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you get 10 snaps, you have to go as hard as you possibly can for those 10 snaps or you're in the wrong program. And so it was nice to hear him reiterate that today. Like, I don't care if guys got 15 snaps, did you go as hard as you could for 15 snaps? Did you earn more snaps with those 15? Because there are players that in the past, in a game like Grambling State, would have been lackadaisical and taken time off and tuned out the coaching messages at the end of the game. I mean, Ryan Day was pissed off at the end of the game, not just with the Bo Jackson fumble, but with the illegal formation. Those are things that when you're up 63-0, in the past, we've seen coaches be like, whatever. And players on the team be
that. He didn't want to talk about Bo Jackson specifically. When you say he was pissed off, I think like that's still front of mind for him 3 days later, because this is someone that Ohio State I think would very much like to be involved in the rushing attack. It's like he said specifically, and I think we'll probably talk about this more on Wednesday on the Stock Report, he said if you see something happen in a game, it was probably happening in practice. And again, there are no accidents when Ryan Day's talking into a microphone. So as we've got really excited about the upside with Bo Jackson, clearly for him, it is that play, that fumble, is like blocking everything else out right now.
Well, that's why I was trying to get him to answer whether or not it means something different for the coaches to give that coaching point to a player that they have expectations for this season.
And sure.
Because in a 63-0 game, if you're fifth string tailback or a walk-on tailback has the football in that scenario and he fumbles, you might just be like, yeah, okay, whatever. This kid's not going to play again the rest of the year. When it is someone like Bo Jackson that you think can actually elevate this team and you've seen all of the reasons that he can make this team better, which is rare for a true freshman to have that ability. But Bo Jackson does have that ability. So the response from Carlos Locke and Ryan Day, I want to know, like, was it because this guy matters to you for this season. Because I personally don't think it would have been the same quick hook if it had been the sixth string walk-on tailback in that situation. I refuse to believe that.
Yeah, probably not. But, you know, to your point, you don't expect the sixth string running back to go in there and help you beat Washington right. on the road or go against Illinois or Wisconsin when you have that stretch coming up in the next month. So I think that's relevant. I will probably be talking about that throughout this week and the opportunity that's in front of Bo Jackson. There should be one for Logan George. There is an injury update. He was not listed on the availability report for either of the first two games, but Logan George had not played in either one. Ryan Day said that the defensive end, the transfer from Idaho State, had a week of practice last week. They still didn't put him in the game. He has not logged his snap yet. He's expected to get a full week of practice this week and that he would be able to play against Ohio. So that's...
There were like Tuesday, Wednesdays in August when we were in here for media availability. We did not see him.
Yeah.
And so there was some like, what's going on there? So clearly there's been a lingering issue, but not something that puts him on the report, but also keeps him from playing.
You know, that's the way it goes early in the year. But if you've been wondering, and many of you have been asking where Logan George has been, what that means for Ohio State's run defense, the pass rush, all that. It looks like he'll be able to go out there. I thought he had a really good spring game. Thought he was impressive in that, but we hadn't really seen much of anything, as you mentioned, since that point.
He's going to play a role. I mean, Ohio State's ability to stop the run and the point of attack has been, if you're going to nitpick one thing in the first 2 weeks that you're like, I'm not sure what's going on there, that might be the one area where Logan George can actually help this team. I don't think he's going to be like an elite level pass rusher or something like that, but he does have the strength and the hands and the stoutness to be in the middle and clog some things up.
It does feel like something of a tradition for like September at Ohio State, where they just, against these non-conference opponents, it's like, hey, can't you just go win the one-on-ones? And it's like, they're like consciously putting governors on the defensive line.
Yeah, it's weird, but we'll figure out what that means in 3 weeks, really, or 2 weeks. How many weeks till Washington?
Two and a half.
We will figure out some of it on Saturday. Ohio's going to be a good matchup. That's not going to be a 28-0 at the end of the first quarter. Although, you know what, I think about it. When Ohio State played Toledo in 22 or 23, whatever year it was, like that was Daquan Finn and those Rockets were pretty good. And the Buckeyes scored 77 points and won 77-21 or something, right? So, like, I think that I don't want to be like too respectful of Ohio and pretend like this game is going to be something where Ohio State should struggle. Like, they should still win this game by 5 touchdowns or more. That's why Vegas has given that line. But, it does have the ability with the week off after coming off of Grambling and how easy that was. Like, I think that there's a possibility this is a game where you could see Ohio State be a little sloppier than they've been, but that's just me.
Well, yeah, we can get into those score predictions and some bold peas later on this week on the beat on Friday morning. I did think when the line came out, I was like, that seems a little bit high based on what Ohio's already accomplished this year. And then I took a look at how some of those games transpired and what Parker Navarro did in the second half against West Virginia, and I thought, now I see.
And Rutgers, what was their final score against Miami of Ohio this past week?
Not good.
I mean, so it's not as though they're – this is not seemingly one of the good Rutgers teams, despite their addition of Aiden Kaliak-Manis or whatever a quarterback. So.
But it doesn't matter. The scoreboard doesn't matter. The situation doesn't matter. Every game is an opportunity.
Execution matters. That's it.
And execution fuels emotion, and Ohio State will be – wanting to feel a lot of that on Saturday night primetime. Again, that's on Peacock. Forewarning, if you don't have it.
Yeah, most of those places have free trials. So if you've not signed up for Peacock, I'm confident they have like a week-long free trial. It's probably a good time to do that, just so you can figure out how to locate it on your television. Also, they have the new show, The Paper. It's based in Toledo, Ohio. It's made from the same folks who made The Office. Have you watched it yet?
Not yet, no.
It's like weird. I don't know if it's funny or not.
The reviews I read said that you have to get to mid-season, sort of like the first season of The Office took some time.
I will acknowledge, like, episode 4-ish, it started to be like, I can almost like these characters.
Also, John Cena's last match is going to be on Peacock in December, so it's a great time to sign up right now. You're going to want to have that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. We'll be back on Tuesday morning with Wednesday morning with
today's
some
Tuesday.
Stocks on the beat.
That's Wednesday. We do it every Wednesday.
It's gonna be a lawless episode of Stock Watch.
Oh,
There's no rules, there's no regulations. This is a buying stock overseas. We're tapping into financial markets around the world. We can do whatever we want on this episode of the Stock Watch. There are no which freshman or which offensive lineman. This is gonna be whatever you want.
Sounds like
whatever you want.
Sounds like Outback Steakhouse, baby.
That's right. No rules, just right.
These have been snap judgments, though. We'll be back on Wednesday morning, as mentioned on the beat. We'll be back Wednesday evening to hear from Ryan Day and a handful of Buckeyes again as they get ready for the Ohio Bobcats on Saturday night. That's primetime. That is on Peacock. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kaur, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay, yay!